Lord, may the words of my mouth
and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sermon title is Towering O'er the Wrecks of Time. We sang it, the opening hymn today. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. Or in the cross of Christ we glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. The cross of Christ, I want you to think of it as a singular focal point that is up above the wrecks of time. We who live within time are saved by the one who is the Word made flesh, who was outside of time but came down to dwell among us, to save us from sin and death, from the power of the devil. Here is a painting that I found that's used in a youth confirmation book that shows Jesus there towering o'er the wrecks of time, life in the city. Jesus who hung there to die for sinners. Jesus who holds all things together, that when there is chaos and cacophony, Jesus is the point outside of you and me, the one outside of you and me that is light and life and truth. All the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime, around the head of Christ, around Christ, the one who is the King of Kings, whose head was crowned with thorns. Jesus who came, and Jesus the one who not only was, but is the way, the truth, and the life. If we could keep God's law perfectly, we wouldn't need a Savior. We recited responsively the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are given in love because God's will for us is not to destroy ourselves, not to destroy the world, but is actually to live, to thrive. And so He gives us the Ten Commandments to say, if you stay within these rules, my will for you is to live, but we can't do it. But God's ultimate will and desire is not that we live in the midst of a world that we have wrecked or has been wrecked for us, but is that we are saved. And that salvation, that hope, the life, the truth, comes not from a consensus or deeply held feelings. It comes from one who is outside of us, from Jesus, the one who is towering o'er the wrecks of time. But what do? We who live in time. I mean, at least for myself, I know I don't use my time wisely. And sometimes the time that I use is actually used not for good, but actually for evil. And not only that, the people around me don't use their time wisely and sometimes use their time for evil that impacts me and my family, the people I love. Alas, what do? We who live in a wreck of time. Well, we turn to Jesus. St. Paul, in the epistle lesson that we heard this morning, focuses on the word of the cross. Well, the word of the cross is the one who is the Word made flesh. It is all about Jesus Christ, the one who is the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17, St. Paul went through this portion. He's talking about, I didn't come just to baptize, I came to preach. He said, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. And part of what was happening is some people said, well, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, I follow Pastor Luke, I follow Pastor Skibby, I follow Pastor fill in the blank. No, he's saying, I'm really thankful I didn't baptize any of you. And then he says, well, actually, I baptized a few of you, but forget about that, because I came to preach. And I came to preach the gospel, centered in Jesus. And not in words with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And this is where he says then, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. It is foolishness. It is pointless. It is ridiculous to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, who are called by faith, it is the power of God. Then he quotes from the Old Testament, from Isaiah 29, verse 14, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. And he asks this question, where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Or maybe said another way, the wisdom of man. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But where do you and I get the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of man? I guess the easiest place to get it these days is, well, let me see. I hate to lose sight. Oh, it's right here. I almost had a panic there. The wisdom of the world, all right here. Tips of my fingers. Twitter, Facebook, Snapface, InstaChat, TikTok. Pastor Luke's into all those. Where do I get the wisdom of the world? CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Newsmax, New York Times, Washington Post, Indianapolis Star. Where do you get the wisdom of the world? Or the wisdom of man? Maybe the goal is just to stay woke. I've heard that. You just stay woke. Maybe it's about being the most progressive, or maybe it's about being the most conservative. Maybe ultimately it just goes down to being politically correct. Or being on the right side of history, lest history pass us by. Maybe it's simply about acknowledging each person's truth. You have your truth. I have my truth. Just respect each person's truth. I don't think that's the answer, though. Because, well, we're having a singular focal point that is outside of us. And that singular focal point that's outside of us can't be that each person has their own truth. Jesus himself said in John 8, 31 and 32, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I heard it a few years ago, and it sticks with me, and one of the things about determining if something is the truth is that, one way to determine if it's not the truth is that if something is constantly changing, it can't be true. We live in a world where everything seems to be changing all the time. What do we cancel next? What do we find out that we should be offended about today that we weren't offended about yesterday? And really, if you want to be on the bleeding edge, you would be the one finding the stuff. It's kind of like my friends in high school and college who, once music became popular, it was no longer popular. You couldn't like it, so they had to find the next music. And they were always ahead. You never could catch up to them. But this is about Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, I have something up here that I'm going to... My slides are out of order. Let me see where this slide is. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a minute. If something is constantly changing, it can't be true. But St. Paul here is talking about the crucifixion, about being crucified. And the wisdom of the world, I think, is born out of a fear of the truth. A fear of the truth, and so the idea then is to cancel, well, right now it's everything and everyone. It's just a matter, if you haven't been canceled yet, there's time. I know on Wednesday morning Bible class, we put it on Facebook Live, it's on YouTube, and we talked about being canceled on Wednesday. I'm just waiting. I was canceling people left and right. Canceled. Canceled. But let's not panic here. Because this cancellation tactic, or cancel culture, it's not a new thing. It's been around for, well, at least 2,000 years. Here is first century cancel culture. This is the way the Romans canceled people. The theologian Fleming Rutledge, in a talk or a sermon about 4 years ago, had talked about the crucifixion. Specifically, the crucifixion of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the one who is the Christ. And she says that if Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead, we would never have heard of him. This is why the Romans had crucifixion. It's right there to publicly cancel people. Well, she used the term to erase them. But I think if she was delivering that talk today, she would just have said cancel people. This is not loving. This is not about tolerance. This is cruel. This is sadistic. It is as dehumanizing as the Romans could make it. And it wasn't done in a corner. It wasn't done, well, we'll do this secretly so you're not shamed. No, this is done out in public for all to see. And she would say it this way, that the object, she didn't use the term the person or the human being, but the object is pinned up before you. Words chosen specifically, that's not natural to pin someone up or nail them up before you. And that this one, well, it's not, they're not one of you. You don't want this to happen to you. Because this one is not fit to die like a human being. This one is no longer part of the human community. This one is to be discarded like trash or to be maybe eaten by the vultures. And so the idea of worshiping a man who died in this way is preposterous on the one hand. It is, well, apart from faith, it's foolishness. The idea here is to obliterate a person. It is to make them into nothing. But Fleming Rutledge says that it is so utterly preposterous, the fact that we proclaim Christ the crucified and risen one as Lord, that it is to convince us of the truth of our faith as our eyes have been opened by the Holy Spirit. And so St. Paul says, where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? And this is the slide I was looking for a moment ago. In the collect of the day, that short prayer that Pastor Luke prayed just a few minutes ago, in the center of it is this unchanging nature of truth. And so, Lord, help us to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Because if something is constantly changing, it can't be true. So St. Paul says, for since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly, the ridiculousness of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. And it's a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. And here is Lucas Cranach's painting of Martin Luther preaching Christ the crucified. And there you are in your black and white outfits. Oh, they got masks on. A couple of them look like they got masks on. But to those who were called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Think about St. Peter, who was preaching at Pentecost. This is from Acts chapter 2. And he says to the assembled hearers, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. He says, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. So let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified. That God has made him both Lord and Christ. St. Paul then says, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." A crucified man, as he hung there on the cross in the first century, was considered a non-person, the epitome of cancellation. It'd be foolish to think of this one as a redeemer. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Cancellation in the first century was to turn someone into a nothing, to cancel them. And Jesus was canceled so that you and I might live, so that you and I have an identity that is rock solid, that is outside of us, a truth that is outside of us. The crucifixion was as public as it was possible to be. Jesus was apparently squashed into nothing and erased from the human record here. But here we are proclaiming him, confessing him as Lord and Savior. We're saying the truth is he is risen. And that is the central point of the Christian faith. It's about following Jesus. It's saying that yes, he was crucified, but no, he didn't stay dead. That I believe that he is risen on the third day, and I confess this, that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus. Present tense. You are baptized into his death and resurrection, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In the cross of Christ, we glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time. If something is constantly changing, it can't be true. But Jesus, the crucified and risen one, doesn't change. The focal point that is outside of you and me, the one who is the way and the truth and the life. That he became to us wisdom from God. And that knowing that you are Christ, that I am his and he is mine, is not just about a warm, fuzzy feeling, or if the feeling goes away, that it's no longer true, but it's outside of you and me. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And again today, you will reach out your hands and receive the body of Christ given, crucified for you, the blood of Christ shed for you and me for the forgiveness of all of our sins, the one who is risen, who is ascended and at the right hand of the Father. And so let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. In the first century, the wisdom of man was to cancel the truth. And in perfect love, the wisdom and truth of God allowed himself to be canceled. Erased. But the truth cannot be canceled. What is the saying? The truth will out. the truth will ultimately come out. Ask King David. Ask all the people who are mired in scandals. The truth will out. The truth cannot be canceled because in the end, the perfect love of God, the incarnate Word of God, wins. And perfect love can't be canceled. Perfect love casts out fear. The truth will out. And I think that could actually be a gospel proclamation. The truth came out of the tomb on the third day. Walked out of the tomb. The truth of Christ crucified and risen cannot be canceled. You know what is canceled? Your sin and mine. The wreck of time, the sin that causes the wreck of time is canceled in the wounds of Christ. But the world at times is ruled by irrational fear and foolishness. See, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's rational fear, but irrational fear and foolishness. And that irrational fear and foolishness where I've had to check myself lately is that with somehow all these things that cause me anxiety, Satan wants me to believe that those are the things that if there are just enough of them, that will ultimately put Christ back in the tomb. Can't happen. The reality of Christ crucified and risen is not going to be canceled. The reign of heaven is ruled by truth and love. The central point of focus, the cross of Christ, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ, and the reality, the wisdom, the truth of Christ crucified and risen towers over the wrecks of time for you and me. Christ came and died for sinners, of which I am foremost. So are you. But Christ is risen, and that truth is unchanging. And so we abide in that today, knowing that one day He will return. To Christ be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace that passes understanding guard and keep our hearts and minds in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.